Welcome to the Sailing Road. If you have ever dreamed of sailing off over the horizon, or if you just like to cruise the coast or your local lake, then this podcast is for you. In this episode, we cover our visit to the U.S. Sailboat Show in Annapolis, Maryland. We'll also have some sailing news, and our products of the week will help you avoid mold, mildew, and odors on your boat. All that and more on the Sailing Road. Hello and welcome to the Sailing Road. I am Steve Payment and I am joined by my beautiful cruising partner and fiance, Brandy Bryant.
Hey, that's me. And guess what, guys? We're still around. You remember us?
They thought they'll never put out another show.
Right? They're like, what the heck,
people? It's been 2 months. They're done. They're sorry. Never doing this again. But we are back.
Life.
And we have some good reasons for being away a little while. So.
For sure.
We got very busy. It all started with our trip to the U.S. Sailboat Show in Annapolis, which we'll talk about here in a while. And, you know, you go on a trip, and then you come back from the trip, and you haven't worked in 3 or 4 days.
Gone from the trip.
Yeah. And we both just got absolutely slammed when we got back with work. So
yes.
That
story of our lives.
Yeah, that absolutely made a challenge. So we got back with that. And then on top of that, we said... you know, we don't have enough going on. We're going to, I guess the year was running out and I looked at the vacation I had left and there was absolutely no way I was going to use it.
Right.
And at my company, if you either use your vacation or lose it, and I was going to lose probably 3 weeks vacation. And I said, you know what? I think there's a way we can take the boat and do a week-long cruise through the Florida Keys and still get some work done at the same time. So we created what we called a workation.
Yep, that is the beauty of our profession. Yep. We can take our work anywhere as long as we have Wi-Fi.
Yep. So we did that. We'll talk about that on another show.
Should be our next one anyway.
Yeah, probably. So we spent a full week in the Keys and we got some work done. So that wasn't so bad, but it still threw us off. We were just busy and didn't have a chance to get the podcast out.
If everybody followed us on social media, they knew we were in the Keys.
That's true. They knew what's going on.
Hint, hint.
But the latest news that has been keeping us busy, we have not posted anywhere.
This has
gotten a little crazy. We also decided about a month ago to buy a house.
Yes. So, and you're thinking, buy a house? What about buying a boat?
I know.
The boat is still in the plans. We still have our, you know, future dreams. But right now,
we're not anywhere close to moving onto the boat. And
right.
We wanted a little bit better place. We wanted, actually, one of the main requirements we wanted is we wanted a house with some property that we could bring our boat out of storage, which it's only stored 5 minutes from the house, but it's still nice to have the boat there so you can get work done.
Get rid of that monthly payment.
Yeah, true. So we found a place. It's got a half acre of property, nice basic house. We didn't want a huge house, and we're really excited about it.
Steve has a workplace in the backyard. I'm going to lose my fiance to a workshop in the backyard, but we're excited.
25 by 25 foot shed, so can do some boat projects and things. So that's going on. And if that wasn't enough.
No, that's not enough.
We decided to add one more challenge. What do they say? That the biggest stresses you can have in your life are probably having a child, changing jobs, buying a house. And what's the last one?
Getting married.
So
guess what?
We decided, let's add that one on the list before the end of the year.
So we're getting married.
So right after we got back from Thanksgiving about a week ago, Brandy and I were talking about some different things we were planning for the new year. And we'd been talking about when are we going to start planning. We announced on the podcast earlier this year that we got engaged on one of our trips. And we've been talking about, okay, when are we going to start planning to do a wedding or something? And some different reasons that came together. I said, why don't we just go ahead and get married? And, you know, we'll avoid all that the complicated stuff. And if we decide to do that later, we can do that later.
Yeah. We're going to end the year with a bang, baby.
Yeah. So last Thursday, we both said, yeah, let's just make it easy.
Yep.
So we've pulled together a wedding in under
a week,
8 days, and we are getting married on Saturday. So by the time this podcast comes out, which I hope I can get it out here in the day, next day.
Yep. So to give you a little time frame, today is Tuesday that we're doing the podcast.
Today is the 6th.
We are getting married December 10th. So
that's coming up. So We apologize for being away a little bit, and we do plan on getting more shows out here soon, but just the end of the year absolutely took over as far as all these things coming up in our lives. So that's going on.
So here we are.
Yep. And a couple other things that we had going on. So we did the trip down to the Keys. And in order to do that, I had to get the boat fixed. Because if you remember, probably on the last podcast, we talked about on one of our recent trips that our throttle cable broke on the boat.
Yes, that was broke for a little while too.
Yeah, weeks. Because I kept saying I was going to get to it. And I didn't get to it. I didn't get out and measure the cable and all kinds of things. But I managed to do that. It was really a pretty easy fix. It only took me about an hour and a half to get it all done.
And what kind of cable did you use? Give them a little insight on how you did
it. It's a standard throttle cable. But the one thing on our boat, because of the way it bends, you got to make sure the reason the cable failed is because when you tilt the motor up, the cable was bending too much when we tilted the motor all the way up. And they make cables that are more bendy than others. And they make, you know, you can buy just the basic throttle cable that everybody uses on their boats, and you probably get with a brand new boat. But there's upgraded cables. So if I'm going to go through all the problems of fishing this thing through the boat and up through the console to the wheel and the throttle and everything, I'm going to buy the best cable I can get. So I found a good brand of cable that had a good, it always has like a minimum radius, and this one can do, I think, a 4-inch minimum radius. So it's real bendy. So we shouldn't have the same failure again. But I found out after I had done all this that digging through the boat to put the cable away, I found another cable on the boat that the previous owner had put in store to the boat, and I totally forgot because we'd covered it up with all kinds of stuff. So now we have two cables on the boat, and it's the same cable for our throttle and our shift. So now we have extras.
Good.
Spares.
Good. And you know how to do it, so.
Yes, I do. And it probably would only take me an hour next time. And I could have probably adjusted a few things to make it easier, but I was in a hurry to get ready for the trip. So that we got that done. And then, I forgot the other thing that I took on that, you know, you always say I have too many projects.
Oh, it never fails, you guys. We plan a trip and he has a whole project on top of a project on top of a project to get done.
But not only that, I mean, I have a lot of hobbies. You know, I try to learn musical instruments. I have stuff that I'm doing on the computer. I have a garden that I have in the backyard, which is never very successful. It's probably the most expensive tomatoes anybody's ever ate in their life. But I decided on a whim that I needed to start building a boat.
Yes.
I've talked about this on the podcast. I've seen other people building boats. You know, I talk about how I admire their effort and everything they go through, but I've never built a boat myself. So I said, you know, I'm going to take this on. My brother builds a lot of small boats and he's been very successful at it and learned a lot. He's taught me a few things along the way. And so I picked out a boat. It's nothing complex. It's not going to take forever, although it is right now because of everything else going on in our life. But I am building a 16-foot canoe. So as basic canoe, and then if I'm successful at building the canoe, then I will turn it into a sailing canoe. And then if I'm successful at that, then I may turn it into a trimaran canoe. And
that has been put on hold because what you are building it in is about to get tore down so that we can move. But the good news is that workshop that we said is big enough to hold the canoe.
So. Correct. So I will have a place to build. I had to put up a temporary shed in the backyard to house the canoe. So that was a whole probably weekend to set
up. That was posted on Facebook.
Which was a total waste once we decided to buy the house because now I got to tear it all down. And the canoe is, but just canoe to give you an idea, I've done a lot of video on the canoe and I'll start putting out videos on the build for that after we get moved. But it is, just to give you an idea, it is still in 2D, not 3D. In other words, it's still in flat pieces. I've cut out most of the pieces and glued some things together, but it's still got a ways to go. So we'll talk about that on the podcast as it comes along. And I hopefully one day will sail the waters on a boat that I've built with my own hands.
You will do it.
And not sink to the bottom. So that is going on. And so I think that's about it for the new news. I guess, you know, we're coming into the fall here. We hope everybody had a great Thanksgiving with their families. And, you know, coming into the fall, even though it was 80 degrees here today in November, we know that a lot of people have all their boats in storage and have probably for well over a month now. And we're very fortunate about that. But You know, that really motivates us to get some shows out and give you something to listen to through the winter and get you excited about the next cruising season with lots of great stories and interviews with cruisers all over the world. So yep. We are working on that. We've got a couple interviews lined up, some that we've been trying to pull together for months now, probably since Annapolis. But because of our schedules and because we've been gone and because we've been dealing with things, we just could not fit it in. So we're getting there. And I think that's it for now. Oh, there was one other thing I want to mention. So there's, so one of the things while we were avoiding doing podcasts and dealing with everything else in our life, we did get have a chance to watch some recent sailing documentary videos. And there's two that I really want to mention that we're going to put in the show notes, the links there, that we really recommend you go out and see. The first one is called Chasing Bubbles. And this was, a documentary that just got released last year. And it's available for free now on YouTube. And it's about a young sailor, a guy named Alex Rust, who it's essentially circumnavigated. And it's just a great story. You watch it and you can tell Alex is just one of these guys that has a huge heart and just made people happy no matter where he went. He just very charismatic. Everybody enjoyed being around him.
But very fearless on the other side.
Yes, yes. And we're not going to tell you what happens in the, you know, the whole story of it. But the documentary is helping raise money for something that Alex is very passionate about, which is kids. And he spent some time in India and fell in love with an orphanage over there. And so if you watch the documentary for free on YouTube, we just ask you to go to the links and donate to his charity because, you know, just it really helps these kids and makes a big difference. And they put together this documentary and just released it out to the world. So, you know, for everybody to watch. And it really is enjoyable. It's just a great heartfelt story. And you can tell his friends and family and the story of Alex is just, it's something amazing. So we really recommend you watch that over the holidays and it's worth the time. It took us about, I think, 5 sittings to watch it because we only watched it about 15, 20 minutes at a time with all our running around, but it's definitely worth it. And then the second one I want to mention is just a short, I think it's like a 10-minute documentary on, it's about this guy named App Applegate. And App has since passed away, but I forget when he had started the boat, maybe back in the 80s. He started building a boat up in the mountains of the Pacific Northwest. And it wasn't just a little boat, little canoe like I'm building. He started building an 80-foot barkentine sailing vessel up in the mountains. And what's interesting you'll see in the documentary is as he started building this, the word kind of spread that this kind of crazy guy is building this massive 80-foot sailboat up in the mountains. And so people started going up to see the boat, and then, you know, he'd start talking to them, and they'd say, well, okay, I can help out. And he got all these people to help out. And one of the big questions all these people had is, how the heck are you going to get this boat down the mountain? Because it's essentially built in a forest, and you'd have to take out a big section of the forest just to get the boat out. But what's cool about the documentary is as word spread and he got more and more visitors, you know, App's goal was to sail this from Orcas Island, which was up near where he was building the boat in the Pacific Northwest, down to Cuba. And so he wanted to have this big sailing adventure. Well, he never got to do that. But what was great is through building the boat, all these people from around the world came to him. So he, you know, he got to see the world through this building the boat and interacting with everybody. So another documentary, I think that one's only like 10, 15 minutes, but it was really interesting story. It's really cool to see the story about that. So I'm going to put links to both of those in the show notes. And that's it for now. So on the initial news. So after the break, we're going to talk about our great trip we had to the U.S. Sailboat Show in Annapolis. Okay, we're back. Let's talk about our trip to the U.S. Sailboat Show in Annapolis.
Yeah, it was fun.
Yeah, it's funny because I'd always wanted to go to the show since I was a kid. I grew up in Michigan, and we always went to the local sailboat shows. I think there was one in Toledo that was in the water, and everybody we always talked to always said, oh, you got to go to Annapolis. It's this massive show.
And I had never heard of it.
Well, not being a sailor, you probably would not. But, you know, and we've been to, I guess being in Florida now, we're fortunate because we have several large shows. I think the Miami show is probably comparable in size. They're kind of hard to compare just because of the way they're laid out. So we decided to, you know, that this is the year we were going to take some time and take some of our vacation days and go to the Annapolis Sailboat Show. And we almost didn't go.
Yes.
So if anybody remembers, this was at the beginning of October. And just the week before we were going to go to the show, all of a sudden Hurricane Matthew set its sights on Florida. They weren't sure where it was going to go, if it was going to come up through Florida, whatever. And as the days went on, it looked like it was going to slam Florida.
Yes, it looked like it was going to be devastating.
So we really waited. We were going to the show Thursday through Sunday, and we really waited.
I think we decided Wednesday.
Yeah, Wednesday morning, we kind of made the go, no go. And, you know, the big problem is just being, you know, you're away from your property. There's not a whole lot you can do during the hurricane, but, you know, being away from the house and everything, you just worry something's going to happen. And so
we kind of came to the conclusion that either we sit at the house and wait it out and worry about what's going on around us, or we can go have a good weekend and worry about what's going on at the house.
Exactly.
So we decided to go and have a good weekend and worry about the house. So.
Well, and the other consideration was we were afraid that looking at the storm path, it was going to go right up the East Coast.
Yes.
And by the middle of the weekend, we were going to be sitting
drenched
in Annapolis, just, you know, not enjoying the show because it would just be pouring rain and having fun. But the end result was we didn't have any of that. We had great weather for the first couple of days. Saturday was rainy all day, but
right,
other than that, it was very nice. In fact, the weather was just beautiful up in Maryland, so we didn't have to worry about that too much. So we went up, like I said, on Thursday morning, and Thursday at a boat show is always the best day to get in and really see boats. So we spent a lot of time touring around the boats. It's just, you know, the nature of boat shows, you only can fit so many people on a boat, so you got to kind of wait till people come off and
it's
go
a slow
on.
Process.
So, yeah, so we saw quite a few boats. We'll talk about the boats here in a minute. But if you've never been to the Annapolis show, it's kind of got a different, most boat shows we've been to are kind of a big square format of the docks, you know, in rows. Annapolis, because they jam it into this area called Eagle Alley, it's really cut up and strange. The vendor booths are essentially spread all over the show, and just the boats are all over. So it's a little different. It's kind of hard to see the scope of it until you can get up above it or whatever, but it is a lot of boats. And a great selection. So it's comparable to Miami, but I think there was definitely more boats than we normally see at shows. And a lot, it was great because there was a lot of boats there that we hadn't seen in Miami. So that helped too. So when we got there, one of the first cool things that happened was we were picking up our show passes. And we got a chance to meet up with Paul and Cheryl Shard of Distant Shores. So if anybody's not familiar with Distant Shores, Paul and Cheryl, for I think the last 20 years, have made these amazing sailing documentary videos. And so we'd followed them and have their videos and really enjoyed them. And we'd actually exchanged messages online in the past. I think when we got engaged, Cheryl had commented on the pictures and stuff. And so it was funny because Cheryl thought we had met before, because in sailing circles, you just get so used to talking to people. We never had a chance to meet. So it was great catching up with them. And if you're familiar, one of the things we really admire about them is they have a boat currently that we really liked, which was the Southerly, because it had a lifting keel.
Yes.
And they're in the process of, or they might have already sold the Southerly now, and they're in the process of building a new boat, which is a Discovery 48, which will also have a lifting keel. So, and they're building it, you know, from scratch with the builder and everything. So, so that's exciting what's going on with them. It was great catching up with them. And also just to note, if you're looking for a last minute Christmas gift, we might have mentioned their DVDs in the past, but, they are fantastic. Any sailor that dreams of cruising off over the horizon and just, you know, cruising or sailing, just, or just pretty islands and water, Their videos go all over the world and are really good. And the great thing about them too is they've converted all the DVDs now. You can get DVDs, but you can also get them online. So every season that comes out, we just buy it online. So if you forget to buy something for a sailor and it's Christmas Eve, you can go online and they can be watching these Christmas Day online. So we really recommend them. They're great videos and we've always enjoyed them. So we're going to be releasing a video on the boat show that's going to outline all the boats we're going to talk about here, because it's kind of hard on a podcast. We talk about the boats and give you some impressions of them, but it's unless you're really looking at the pictures, it's kind of hard to follow along. So one thing I'll mention we've talked about in the past is if you have an iPhone or you go on iTunes, you can click on the see full description of the show, and it brings up clickable links of every boat that we're going to talk about. So you can just click on the link, and as we're talking about it, you're listening right on your phone. You can see the boat that we're talking about. But or you can also wait forever for me to get my my boat show video out. But we'll work on that. As the holidays come in, if I don't get absolutely slammed at the end of the year here, I may have a little time. It's not like we're moving or getting married.
You're not going to have time. So, we are moving. We promise at the
correction.
Beginning. We're going to correct that at the beginning of the year sometime.
January,
after that.
February. It'll be like a whole new show. It's like we never talked about these boats.
Oh, gosh.
So that's coming out. So let's talk about some of the boats we saw and kind of walk through different ones that we thought were interesting. We started off with the Catalinas. And, you know, it's funny because we go through boat shows now and we really look at boats of what we think we could cruise on in the future.
Right.
To kind of look at the features. And some boats you just look at it for fun. We're going to get on a 60-foot boat. It's just for fun. We know that that's not what we're going to be cruising on, but they're still fun to
right. Our main goal going to these boat shows is just seeing what style we could live on in the future, because some of them are just set up so differently. So that is our main goal when we go to these boat shows. We know we're not going to be buying one of these brand new boats that are at the boat show, but it gives us an idea of the length and the livability of these boats. So right. That's our main goal with them.
So we started off with the Catalina 38 and 42. And, you know, I'm really impressed with the build quality on the Catalinas. I haven't really looked online, but just from the fit and finish, they were comfortable boats. The only thing we worry about a little bit is the storage on them. But I think the 42 had a big enough layout with the extra cabin that you could use that as a lot of storage and set it up as storage. But you don't think so?
Yeah.
You're giving me the smirk.
Well, it's been a while since we looked at these boats, so I'm trying to like configure it all back in my head.
Yeah,
but
those are kind of hard to remember.
Yeah.
And then you'll see in the videos, we went to the Genoa area, and the Genoa 54s they had there, they had two different layouts of it. So one of the things you'll see in the videos, we're trying to improve our videos, and we got two new stabilizers.
Yes, we did.
Before we went to the show, because that was one of the complaints we had in the past, is that our videos were a little shaky when you're walking through boats at the boat show. So we got two new stabilizers. We're using both of them. Brandy went through one Genoa 54, and I went through the other one and kind of showed the different layouts and used different stabilizers. Now looking back at the videos, it's not as stable as I would hope. It's like a lot of it's in the technique, and I think we're learning better on how to do the technique and keep things stable. But we looked through those, and so you'll see both of those. And then Genoa also had a brand new 58-foot boat. So
yes, that had the dinghy dock cockpit, or underneath the cockpit,
right,
where you can store your dinghy, which gives you more space. So
yeah, you don't have to worry about hanging it off the back. I guess if you got a 58-foot boat, you can deal with that, but it was nice. You know, if we had the money, we would definitely be interested in one of those types of features.
I don't think we need a 58-foot boat,
though. No, I don't think so either. But it would be nice, and I don't think if I had the money to buy the 58-foot Genoa that's what I would buy. I'd probably buy a smaller boat of some of these others we're going to talk about, because
correct,
they were much better set up for cruising. Another boat was there was the Amel 55, and this is a different Amel than the one we showed in our Miami video last year or earlier this year. I can't remember if it was the same length and just a different boat, or it was a little bit bigger boat, but the Amel is just...
It's just an amazing boat.
Amazing. The technology through and through, everything is really good, and then every bit of woodwork looks like a piece of high-end furniture. It's just really cool. So we really like that one. Couple different boats that we had never saw before. The first one being the Gozzard 41. And you got to look at a picture of this one through the link. It had this beautiful light blue hull. It had a real classic look, kind of the classic ship rear end to it. But for a 41-foot boat, we knew before we walked on the boat, this one's going to be pricey. I'm sure this 41-foot Gozzard, I don't think I was able to find a price online, but it probably, that 41-foot boat cost more to buy than a Jeannot 58, which is funny. You can definitely, when you go to these boat shows, you can see the difference between high-end quality and just size, because right. we saw boats that were much smaller that were just as much money as the more production boats, the Beneteaus and Jeannot. Another boat that was really neat was the Southerly 57, which I talked about. That's the same kind of boat that Paul and Cheryl Shard had. And Southerly actually went out of business last year, and we were surprised to see them there. But I was talking to the guy, and the company that makes the what was that other boat we went and saw? It's on here somewhere. The Gunfleet. The same company that makes Gunfleet bought Southerly's designs and are making them again. So, and a lot of people that, I mean, Paul and Cheryl and other people that had them have the lifting keel, really like the boats. And they really do have a nice layout. They have a seating area up kind of a pilot deck.
Right.
That sits up higher so you can see out the window so you don't feel like you're way down in the boat. And the one they had there, this 57 had the lifting keel, and just to give you an idea, the keel draft is 10 foot 9 inches in the down position and 3 foot 6 inches in the up position. So
which is why we would be so interested in a Southerly if they were still making those boats. So
I mean for a 57 foot boat to have a 3 foot 6 inch
that's draft, awesome.
I mean, it does add to the complexity of the boat, but it really, and I like the layouts of them, they're really neat. Another one that we went and saw was the Waukees 48 Pilot Saloon. Brandy didn't like this one.
I didn't like this one.
She's not going to mince words. It had kind of a strange modern layout, and it just didn't. I guess it would be great if you were hanging out in Miami and just having the friends on for drinks, but had orange leather seats.
Yeah, who wants orange leather seats? Sorry, this is the girl part of me coming out, people.
It was very...
You gotta live on these things. You gotta like your interior and what it looks like.
Yeah, it was very Miami South Beach kind of style.
I don't even know if that's what I would call it.
So you'll see pictures of that one. We'll put that one online.
Tell me what you think.
With the strange orange leather. Another one is the Solaris 50. And this was a cool boat. This would be impressive as you pull into the marina. Everybody's going to turn and look. It's got a very sleek low deck. It almost looks like it's like a racing boat style. Almost no height to the deck whatsoever. And it was in this sleek gray, like a James Bond
boat. I love the gray. Yeah. I love the gray hulls, but after having our boat with the blue bottom, we will be sticking with white.
Well, believe me, if you could afford this 50-foot boat, because I'm sure it was very pricey, it was probably a $1 million boat, you could afford somebody to wash and wax it every
week. I guess
so,
but even though, if we were to, no.
Yeah, but it was a cool boat. You have to look at that one. Another couple that were there, and I've talked about these, they were at the Miami Boat Show, at least the Garcia Exploration 45, which is Jimmy Cornell's boat. If you're familiar with Jimmy, he's gone all over the world and done pilot charts and things. These are aluminum boats, really heavily built, and they had the same company that makes the Garcia Exploration makes these boats called Allures, and the Allures are also aluminum. And they had a 45-foot Allure there that had a little bit different layout than the Exploration. I think I like the Exploration's layout a little bit better, but man, they're just super tough boats. You know, you want to go up into some northern climates I like aluminum boats. So, and they have lifting keels too, so they're pretty cool. Couple other interesting boats. I tend to try to find like the really different boats that are at the show. And I've seen these trimarans on videos and things on YouTube for years and just never got to see one in person, but they're pretty cool. They're called a dragonfly trimaran.
Yeah, these were neat.
And they're really neat. They had a 32-foot and a 28-foot. And it's funny because the center boat that's between these two amas for the trimaran looks kind of like our McGregor 26 in a way. You know, it's, if you squint your eyes a little bit, and just the the style of it, and even inside,
stand on your head.
The size and format was kind of the same way. The big difference is these babies haul.
Yeah.
You know, they're doing, they, if you get them moving, you're upwards of 15 knots, which is about as fast as we motor with a 50 horsepower motor on our boat.
We could take them.
Yeah, under motor, they'll be sailing.
Exactly, under motor.
So, but those were really cool, and I'm going to put links to those. You can and look through all the brochures.
They're surprisingly roomy inside. I didn't like, there's like a, when you go down below, at least the one I went on, I think I went on the smaller, you went on the bigger, but they had a center table. It was a long rectangular table, but it was right in the middle of the, I don't know, living quarters, however you want to say it. So that was kind of awkward because you literally would have to sit down and move around. But surprisingly enough, it was very roomy inside.
Yeah. No, they're really cool. I mean, it's, if you want that kind of combination between a kind of a cool cruising boat that really can go fast, these are the ones. Probably the ultimate cruising boat that we saw at the show.
I would say probably one of our favorites, yeah, too. Yeah,
it was. It was the Outbound 46. If you have the money and you say, I want a purpose-built boat for cruising, you know, that it just, I want it, somebody that's cruised around the world, they've thought of every idea, it has the room to work on the engine, it has the layout, it's got just everything set up for worldwide cruising. This is the boat. 46-foot boat. It was just amazing.
Now, this Outbound, this was the one where when you got into the cockpit, when you opened up one of the seats, you went you could look straight down to the engine room, right?
It was like a whole workroom.
You could literally stand down there. If you come in, when you go down the steps, the companionway inside, there was a, you know, an entranceway through the cabin. Or when you're standing in the cockpit, you literally open up a seat and it was this engine room, and it was, you know, if you have a boat, going into an engine room is not easy. So it was very cool, very well thought out.
Yeah. So give you an idea. This is one of those boats that I said you could buy a you know, 55-foot Beneteau or Jeanneau for the same price that you can pay for this Outbound 46. These Outbound 46s go between $600,000 to $700,000. Just
give so worth it.
But it really well built. Even, and I've looked at them in the used market. They don't go down in value very much. They're very expensive. So really cool boat, though. And then other really good cruising boats we saw, the Halberg Rossi's, just amazing cruising boats. You can just tell the quality of the build. Everything on them is just set up so well. They had the 372 there and the 40 MK2, which we didn't get a chance to go on the 40 MK2 because they were judging it. And every time we went back, it was so crowded.
Yeah, it was a very popular, boat.
Yeah. But great boats. And I just heard on Andy's podcast that he just came out with a 43 that they're releasing. So
nice.
But just really well built boats, very comfortable for cruising. And then Brandy's favorite monohull, I think that we both felt really comfortable, is the Passage 470. Passport 470. And this is a center cockpit, one of the few center cockpits I think that we went on the show. But it just everything.
Beautiful inside. The center cockpit, the way that the layout on this one is, when you went downstairs, because of the center cockpit, it actually, you go down the companionway and you can either turn to the right and go behind you, or you can turn to the left and go behind you. So if you go to the right, it's going to be the kitchen area. And then if you go to the left, it goes, I think, back towards the
nav station.
The nav station back into, I think both sides went back to the master cabin. So it was a beautiful boat. And the guy that was on it sat and talked to us for a little while, and it was awesome.
Yeah. So we'll put that one up, definitely all the links to it. And he even gave us some links to videos and stuff that we'll link to it. So that's definitely one of our favorites. And once again, I looked at online just to be curious, because we always say, okay, we like this boat. Hopefully a lot of people buy them. So 10 years from now, we could afford to buy one. This one, I looked at a 2008 model used that looked in good condition. $550,000.
I'll take it. I'm winning the lotto this weekend anyway. So
that one's it's still a huge price tag, but you pay for the quality. So
absolutely.
One of the coolest, just, you know, extraordinary boats that was at the show was this Gunfleet 58. I talked about it earlier that Gunfleet and Southerly is made by the same manufacturer now. But the Gunfleet is a 58-foot boat with a lifting keel. And it was super fancy. Everything on it was, you know, top of the line. I think this is the one that had the steering consoles that curved around the navigation station. It just everything they did was a little just on, over the top. But to give you an idea, on this one, on this 58-foot boat, the keel with the draft on the keel with it down was 12 feet and 6 feet with it up. So still you're drafting 6 feet, but on a 58-foot boat, that's really good. And it only costs about $1.5 million to $2 million, depending on how you configured it. So, so that was, you know, they had some really cool monohulls there, but they had some, you know, the great thing about it is in the show, they had some smaller boats too. If you want a smaller boat, but you still want to spend a lot of money for it, we saw this boat called an Aileron 33 Express. And it's got really classic lines. This looks like this beautiful classic kind of day sailor. It's 33 feet, but it just looks kind of small because it's got this huge cockpit and overhang back end.
That was the red
bottom? I can't remember what it looked like, which bottom it had. But I went down below in this and I took a little video of it. It had as much, it probably didn't even have as much room as our McGregor did because half the boat was the cockpit.
Which I love that.
It did have a really nice cockpit.
One thing we miss about our old boat is the cockpit.
Yeah, but so this Aileron 33 Express, it really is pretty much a day sailor. $240,000. So if you got the money, it's a nice little toy. Another small boat that we checked out while we were there, and this is very similar to our McGregor 26, is a new concept boat. They haven't built one yet, but so talk to some of the guys that are building this. Is a called a Ventura 23 sport boat. And if you're familiar with our boat at all, or if you looked on videos and what we have in the McGregor 26, this is very similar. It's kind of set up in a similar way to our boat, but it's 23 feet, but it's going to have a planing hull with a larger outboard so you can kind of get up on plane and move it probably 18, 19 knots in it, or just sail. But we talked to the guys pretty much, you know, for a long time about it because they were asking a lot of questions of what we liked on McGregor and what we didn't like, and they're still in development. But, and it's hard to say. I mean, it's, I feel for anybody that's trying to start up a boat company, it's just hard to figure out what the market is out there. There's so many used, good used McGregors and small boats out there. So you got to compete with the used market. But if they've got a cool concept.
The cool thing with the Ventura, too, this is the one that he said that they're going to have a wet bath inside, right?
That's true.
They're going to have a wet bath inside. And it's, you know, to be a 23 and ours is 26, it's kind of, I'm trying to compare about, you know, how much space would that really take up. But if you added just a few more inches to where our, you know, bathroom area is in our boat, it definitely could work. So,
well, I think the big advantage of a little bit smaller boat is you don't need as big a truck to pull it. I mean, we don't have a big truck, but you can't, I mean, even like a Ford Explorer or something, a smaller SUV can't really pull our boat. And it could on this 23 because the weight goes down quite a bit. So that's one of the things they're trying to work on.
Right.
Another trailer sailor we went and looked at was the Rhodes 22. I think they've been building these for quite a while. It just did for a 22 foot. It looked like it was really well built. It just didn't have a lot of room. And you know, when you get down to 22 feet, you're not going to have a lot of room in a boat. It's pretty much going to be
definitely a
flat area to sleep and a little porta potty and maybe a little kitchen. But yeah, it's a day sailor, a little weekend kind of camping boat. But from what it looks like, they're really well built. So that was pretty much it for the monohulls. Let's talk about some of the other stuff we did at the show. So one of the cool things we knew that we're going to meet up with listeners while we were there. So we wanted to find a kind of a meeting spot that we could use every day as we're meeting with different listeners. And so we found this place right on the edge of the boats called the Fleet Club. And it was the first place we walked into. They had a little bar upstairs. So we said, oh, that'd be a good area. They had lots of seating to meet up with people. But what was really cool is we really fell in love with the guys that were running it.
Oh, they were awesome.
So if you're not familiar with the Fleet Club, essentially it is a military club. I think it's mostly Navy.
Private.
But it's just for the military members. It's only open to the public during the sailboat show so they can raise money to help fund their activities for the whole year. But, you know, you go up and we went up to the upstairs and the guys that were serving beer and stuff, one of them had a Purple Heart. They all came from, you know, diverse backgrounds. You know, they've been retired from the military. And
it was like walking into Cheers by the time Sunday came because everybody knew our name.
So it was great. We really fell in love with those guys. We even did a video with them, so you'll see that eventually when it comes out. But
yep, I think we might have even posted that on Facebook. So if you are following us on social media, then you probably saw that video. I believe that was one that we did on Facebook. And again, these guys were awesome. So. Yeah.
Everybody we dealt
really
with
really appreciated the hospitality that they gave us.
And if you ever go to the sailboat show, definitely go to the Fleet Club. They have great food.
Really good chili.
Buy some drinks.
Support them.
Give them some tips because they're doing good things for our active and retired military and supporting them. So it's a great cause. And the great thing was we were able to go there every day at a certain time and we met up with listeners. So we probably met over a dozen listeners
while we were up there. It was awesome. We met listeners who have been cruising for a while. We met listeners who don't even have boats, but it's their dream. They're searching. They're looking. It was really good. Those of you who did meet up with us, we appreciate it. We loved your stories. We love sitting down talking to you. And, you know, hopefully we all keep in touch and hear more about your experiences and how life is going later in time. So it was good. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah, it was, as you said, I think it was great that we met with some listeners that had much more sailing experience than we did.
Oh, absolutely.
Some that had done extensive cruising and now they've kind of shrunk down to where they're, you know, doing more local cruising, coastal cruising. Mm-hmm. And then several others that had never even sailed before. Right. And they just came to the show. They're interested in it. They had a lot of questions. So we learned quite a bit from the ones that had sailed all over. We had questions for them and they gave us some great feedback. And then the ones that hadn't really started sailing was kind of fun because we haven't been sailing a long time or have a lot to give, but we gave them some ideas on what we found was a great way to start. And so that was fun.
I think our greatest advice was the advice to look up the different McGregor areas when we go to different areas when we're traveling.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, one of the sailors, he had the same boat as we do, the McGregor 26. And I mean, McGregor is one of the most manufactured boats in the world. So and it has great owner forums that everybody gets on and exchanges information. But this would work with any boat manufacturer, or it would just work with sailors in general. Sailors are friendly people no matter where you go in the world. But this couple had told us that they had traveled internationally, and every time they booked a trip to go internationally somewhere, they would go online and look in the sailing forums for the McGregor and find out who lived in those countries, and they'd send them an email.
Yeah.
And in every case, they said not once did somebody not respond to them, and they would respond and say, please look us up when you get here. They'd give them advice on where to go. And then when they got to the country, oftentimes those people would come pick them up from their hotel.
Yeah, and take them sailing.
Take them sailing locally, and then take them back to their house and feed them dinner. And
that's cool.
They said it was the best thing they've ever done. So it was great advice. If you know, look up people that have your same boat in other countries or just sailors and say, hey, we need some advice. We're coming into your town. Where do you think we should go? And they may even take you out sailing. So it was really good advice. So that was fun. Something else that was kind of cool at the show, and I guess maybe I'm interested in this a little bit because I'm building this boat right now. There's a company called Chesapeake Lightcraft, and they build a lot of small boat kits, and you can either, you know, buy the kit or have them build the boat for you. But a lot of people just buy their kits and put them together. But one of the things they had at the show was pretty cool. They put together a teardrop camper. If you guys have followed anything with camping in recent years, one of the big things back in the 50s and 60s, all these companies had these little teardrop campers that you pull behind your car, and all this classic stuff's coming back. Well, Chesapeake Lightcraft had built one of these out of wood.
Yeah, it was really cool.
Really cool. So all done out of wood and just a little, you know, camper you could pull behind your car. But that was cool. For something non-boat oriented at the show, I thought that was really neat. And they had some other cool designs. And if you're ever interested in and building a small boat or looking at small boat designs, definitely look at their website. They've got some really cool small boats. Another cool thing we were able to do when we were up there is we got to meet up with Andy Schell, a fellow podcaster.
Yeah.
And if you follow Andy's podcast, it's now called On the Wind, or his website, 59 North. They were up there advertising and had their boat at the show for their offshore adventures that they did. So we got to meet up with him and his wife, Mia. And intern Liz. And it was kind of cool because they had like the best location at the show. Right when you came in at the end of Eagle Alley, Andy's boat was sitting there proud. But what's funny is his boat drafts, I think, like 8 feet or something. It's got a big draft. So they actually had to bring something in to push it off of the wall, like a landing area, so they could actually park it in there. But it was great catching up with Andy, and we always like to chat about what's going on with the podcasts and how he's doing. So we talked about the monohulls. We haven't really talked about the catamarans, and we didn't spend as much time looking at catamarans at this show because we spent so much time on the catamarans in Miami. Okay. But we did look for catamarans that were a little bit different that we hadn't really spent much time on. And the first one we looked at has become somewhat famous, and that was the Ultramar 51. And that brand has gotten a lot of advertising. If you follow any of the YouTube sailing channels, Sailing La Vagabond is going to be getting a Ultramar sometime in 2017. And it is a great boat.
Yeah.
So Riley and Elena are going to be very happy with this boat. It is
definitely going to be a change from La Vaga, that's for sure.
It's really kind of a cool combination because we've been on a lot of the catamarans that are kind of set up for charter fleets, and they're all about just the living space and probably less about the performance. And you can see that this boat was really thought out to be both comfortable because it's got a lot of room. It's, you know, a catamaran. And I don't think they're getting a 51 foot. The 51 was the show. I think they're getting something in the 40 foot range, but all the Ultramars are kind of set up the same kind of hull shape, and they have sharper hulls, so they're definitely a faster boat. And I believe they have dagger boards.
They did,
which makes it a kind of a fast catamaran cruiser. So they're definitely going to be excited about that performance and just the layout. It's really comfortable. So cool boat to tour, and it was funny because we're standing in line and everybody's talking about Sailing La Vagabond. And the fact that they just saw they got the boat. So they're definitely getting good advertising out of doing that. So maybe someday somebody will give us a boat because we talk about boats
listening
all the time. Who knows? That'd be great. Another,
they got a few years on us.
Yeah, so. They do. Another set of catamarans we looked at. We might have saw one in Miami.
I don't think we've seen these before. These were really neat. Yeah. The Bally catamarans. The Bally catamarans, they have a weird backside. They have what it seemed like a garage door, basically. So the garage door could go up and it went inside of the cabin, but then you could close it and it was a window. So it was really neat.
So if you think about the rear end of the salon on catamarans, there's usually a sliding door that's maybe 4 feet wide that you walk in and out of. Essentially, they took that whole back end and made it a raisable garage door, like you said. And when you put it up, it creates this full length walk from the front of the salon to all the way out the back that's completely open. So it is kind of a cool floor plan. It would be very comfortable if you're out, in the tropics, good breezes, everything coming through there. So yeah, well, we'll put the links to those and you can take a look at them. And then the last catamaran we looked at was the Gunboat 57.
Yes. Which, different than the one that we saw in Miami.
Yeah, we've been on the one in Miami. The 57 is a brand new boat. And, you know, I think I remember when I looked at I think that was a 55 that we went on before. And it was all right, but it kind of felt like, you know, the performance was over the comfort. And on this one, I really could see myself living on this thing. It had ultimate performance, but it was also had kind of it's modern, but it definitely was comfortable. The owner, they had the one whole hall was the owner's stateroom and head. And it was awesome. The head was huge. It was probably as big as our bathroom at home. And the stateroom is just amazing. So really cool boat. If we win the Mega Millions lotto for $400 million, I'll definitely think about putting in for that. It's between that and the Balance Catamaran that we saw at the Miami show.
Balance Catamaran over that one.
I don't know. Balance doesn't have probably quite the performance this one has.
But that's okay. What are we in a hurry for?
Well, if we win enough, we'll just buy two. We'll take one week.
And your boat, my boat. In case we get sick of each other, we are getting married, you know.
Exactly. Wasn't that Mariah Carey? Didn't she have that with her billionaire boyfriend? They both had separate yachts.
Oh, I'm sure.
One of the coolest things we were able to do at the show.
Yes, this was probably our favorite part.
Yeah, is to get together with other sailing podcasters and YouTube creators. And these are a lot of people that we all exchange information with because we're all kind of doing the same thing of talking about sailing and sharing our adventures. And we talked about getting to meet Andy, and Andy couldn't get together with the whole group because he was busy keeping his business going and promoting the business. And so we all got together at Pusser's and hung out, but it was really cool. We met up with, so if you follow any of these other podcasts, I've talked about some of the podcasts I follow, Jeffrey Wedding from Shooting the Breeze podcast, Teddy J from the Sail Loot podcast, Kamau from I&I Boats, and we talked about Kamau's building a big 54-foot boat in his backyard. Yep. So he was there.
He's got his videos on YouTube.
He lives right in Baltimore, so it was local for him. And then Vince from Sailing Nervous also was able to stop by and join up with us. So we coined it the first Sailing Multimedia Creator Summit, something like that. So
it was fun.
It was neat to get together. We didn't get a chance to stay very long because we were meeting up with some other listeners at the Fleet Club, but it was fun to meet up with everybody and see them in person. And we'll definitely all stay in touch, and definitely we'll put the links to all their shows. Get out there and support them too. There's just not enough great sailing content out there. We need more people creating these things, so give them some support. And we were able to meet up with some other cool kind of famous sailing luminaries in the sailing industry. First one, Lynn Pardee. Lynn had a booth there with all her books and everything. So we stopped by and chatted with her for a minute. I'd never met her. She was probably down at Miami or one of the other shows. We just never got a chance to run into her. And she's just so sweet and great to talk to. And another great Christmas idea, if you have a sailor, get any of Lynn's books. The adventures that her and Larry have gone on are just fantastic. Larry wasn't able to be there in Annapolis. He was back in New Zealand, but it was just great talking to her. And also at her booth, we were walking down the table, and I was pointing out, different books and talking to Brandy about them. And I got down to the end of the table, and I pointed to the book about sailing with kids that was written by Behan from Sailing Totem. And I was telling Brandy that earlier in the day, we were walking over the bridge when we parked our car, and we walked past these three kids. And I said, I know those kids as they walk by. That's the Sailing Totem kids. And so I was telling Brandy about this book, and I look up, and Behan's just smiling at me. She's standing behind the book, just standing there waiting for me to look up. And so we chatted with her and her husband, Jamie, for a while. They had just got back from a circumnavigation. I think they've been gone 6 or 8 years. And it was really interesting because we were talking about how the kids have grown up sailing around the world. And now they're back, in some place like Annapolis that is, America's so commercial and everything. So that's the first shock. But the other shock is just like me, anybody that follows sailing and follows Sailing Totem, these kids are probably getting recognized all over the show. So they've gone from being, nobody knows them anywhere in the world, just being overwhelmed. And Behan said, yeah, they're getting a little creeped out by it. They had to go back to the boat because it was a little much because people kept stopping them and wanting to take pictures. But so it was cool to meet up with them. So after that, we did spend some time going around looking at different vendors. Shopped. Yep, we got some shopping in. And as I said before, the vendors at Annapolis are really set up. They have all these different areas, so you have to kind of find out where all the tents are. But we eventually made it through. I think we went and saw them all. One of the things we were looking for at the show, they always have great deals at boat shows, and oftentimes you can save a little bit of money off of certain things that you want to buy. And we were flying back home, so we couldn't take a whole lot, but we did want to buy some inflatable PFDs. I have an old one that was wearing out, and I want to buy one for Brandy. So we looked around at different brands, and we ended up buying these PFDs that are made by Kent And Kent is one of the manufacturers that does all the industrial PFDs all over the world for like container ships and cruise lines and things. But they have these really nice PFDs, and I think we paid right around $100 for them. They're automatic. They have all kinds of features on them that a lot of the top brands had. And right now we're not cruising, so by the time we get on a bigger cruising boat, these will probably be worn out. I didn't want to put a lot of money into them, but we'll put a link to them in the show notes to take a look at them. They were really comfortable too. They had a neoprene thing around the neck that makes them very comfortable to wear. So that was good. We bought those. And we decided to buy sunglasses.
We bought ourselves good sunglasses.
Good sunglasses. We go through a lot of cheap sunglasses.
We do.
On the boat. I'm famous for having 8 pairs of $15 sunglasses around because they're all polarized, but I tend to break them and sit on them and stuff. But we decided to invest in a couple of good sunglasses. So I bought a pair of Costas and Brandy bought a pair of Maui Jims. Yeah. And we really like them there. So hopefully we'll be able to keep them up.
I bought a new charm necklace.
Oh, that's true. We'll put that a link on there too. We found this really good jewelry manufacturer that she designs all her own stuff. And sorry, I didn't write
Maggie's.
It in here. Maggie's is the name of it? Mm-hmm. Okay. So we'll put a link to that. But if another great gift idea, we're not going to do a gift idea show this year. What do we call that?
Christmas guide.
Christmas guide this year. So we'll just mention some of the stuff on here that we saw. But Brandy loves this necklace. And the really cool thing about it is the lady can customize it with any coordinates. So Brandy's has longitude and latitude coordinates on her charm, and it's actually the coordinates of the Annapolis show or Annapolis. Yeah. And so you can get this with your home port, anything, any place that is meaningful to you, and she'll customize it for you. So that was really cool. And as we were walking through the vendors, we met up with Greg Cutson, the owner of Mantis Anchors. He was there with all his reps. And we were just gushing over the fact that we bought our Mantis last year at the St. Petersburg Boat Show, and it has been fantastic. We just love that anchor. It's totally so much better than our last anchor, and it's made a big difference. It gives a lot of peace of mind at night. But Greg gave us, you know, a great tour last year of all his products, and he's come out with a couple new products since then. So when we eventually come out with a video, but we'll show these. But you can go out on the Mantis site and see them right now. Mantis has come out with two pretty cool things. The first one is a portable scuba system, which has a smaller tank, so it doesn't take up so much room. You're not going to get as much time underwater, but a lot of times you just want to get under to fix something on the boat or just go snorkeling for a little wet. And this was really, it's really nice setup that he's set up.
Very compact.
Yeah, really compact. And then his second thing that they've come out with this year is a waterproof rechargeable headlight. And we've got a couple of these cheap headlights on our boat, and they break, you know, probably once a year and we have to replace them. But he's built this thing really heavy duty, and it's completely waterproof. So if you had to go under the boat when it was dark, or dive down and look for something when you dropped it off the side of the boat, like the boat keys, which we've done, you could do this. And it's totally rechargeable, so you don't have to worry about batteries. It was really, really nice setup. You think about it, you can either buy 6 sets of these other cheap headlights or one of these from Greg, and I think it's definitely worth it. So we're going to look at getting one of those eventually. One of the other cool things we got to do at the boat show, we were walking through the vendor booth, and as we walked into one of the tents, some lady was standing at the door, said, "Hey, if you're interested, the Olympic athletes, U.S. Olympic sailing athletes are here, but they're only going to be here another few minutes." And so we walked through the tent, we got over there, and they were hanging out, and we got our picture taken with.
We did. It was really cool.
All of the U.S. Olympic sailing medalists, both the Paralympic medalists and the regular medalists, and it was great. It was really fun to hanging out with them and got them to sign some stuff. So that's cool. And we'll put pictures up of that in the show notes. One of the things we love about traveling
food
is the food. So we can't.
Food and beer.
We can't leave the review of the show without talking about the food. There's some classic places at the boat show. Like we talked about, the Fleet Club had really good food. And Pusser's, we heard some people ate there and really liked it. Pusser's is mainly great for painkillers.
Painkillers.
And they have them in three varieties. You can get light, medium, or strong. I think we mostly got medium ones.
But
those are always great. But we, you know, like to adventure around the area, and Brandy never been to Annapolis, so we went to a couple different places we really like. So if you're ever up in that area, if you go to the boat show in the future, you can check out. The first one isn't anywhere near the Annapolis boat show. It's actually up near the Baltimore airport, because that's where we flew in and out of. Depending on where you get your flights from, a lot of times you'll get cheaper flights into Baltimore.
Yes, our flight from Orlando was bright and early at, I think, what, 6:30, 6:45?
Yeah, we were up in Baltimore, landed about 9 a.m.
Right.
We really had a chance to have breakfast, so we said, let's find a place to have breakfast before we go on the boat show. We found the best breakfast
it was amazing.
We have ever had in our lives. Now, that's, you know, a lot to say. I've been here 48 years. This breakfast was amazing. A place called Willie's Kitchen, right near the Baltimore airport. You could literally, I think, two blocks away, see the fence to the airport. Everything was farm to table. They baked all their own bread. All their eggs came straight from the farm to them.
That or we were just really hungry.
No.
But it was good.
Everybody we talked to in the restaurant said, this is the best food anywhere. It was really amazing. So Willie's, you can check out Willie's Kitchen. Just looks like a little house. I mean, yeah. Nothing fancy from the outside, but believe me, it's worth it. The food is great. And then every night after the show, we kind of found someplace to go eat.
VIN 909
is a place just over the bridge from the show. Literally, you could walk there from the show. Amazing. Another kind of like farm-to-table restaurant. Wine was great. We actually sat at the little counter right at the kitchen watching them make all the food. Yeah. So that was really good. I think the last day we went to the Iron Rooster, which is right outside the show. That was another great, great meal. I mean, there's so much good food up there. And then the last place we went to was
Davis's Pub.
And this is the ultimate cruiser's bar. Everybody talks about, you know, everybody goes around Annapolis. It's a big sailing town. You get done with the sailing race or whatever on Wednesday night, people end up back at Davis's Pub. It's just that kind of place. So no matter who you're standing next to at the bar is probably a sailor. And we got some drinks and sat at this picnic table just out the front door. And about every 20 minutes, we'd be talking to people and somebody would say, well, we got to go. And then somebody else would sit down and it was like
conversation after conversation,
hearing all these different cruiser stories. We met cruisers from Minnesota who cruised on the lakes up there and did ice boat racing. We talked to people that have circumnavigated the world, people that cruised up in Maine. Mm-hmm. So it was really cool just to sit there and get all kinds of stories. And we had a great time hanging out at Davis's. So check those out if you're up there. And then to finish up our trip, we had a late flight on Sunday, so we spent some time in the show in the morning seeing a few boats that we hadn't saw yet. But we scheduled a sail on the schooner schooner Woodwind. And if you've ever heard, if you listen to Andy's podcast, 59 North, he's interviewed the owners of the schooner Woodwind, and he actually worked on it after college. So we were there Saturday afternoon and we said, well, let's go ahead and sign up for the next morning on Sunday. And the weather on Saturday was just rainy, drizzly all day, but we knew it was going to clear off the next day, but the winds were going to be a little bit higher. So we asked them, you know, are you sure you're going to sail tomorrow? And they said, oh, absolutely. But they said, you should be aware that the winds are going to be really high and it's going to be sporty. It was the word they
sporty.
Used.
Sporty. What does that mean?
Sporty
is what I said.
I said, well, you know, we like sporty. And so they said, well, you'll have a great time then. So we showed up 11 a.m. on Sunday morning and went out on the schooner Woodwind with Captain Jen and her crew. And we had a blast.
It was awesome.
It was overcast and the bay was rough. But there was 15 to 20 knot winds. We might even have a few gusts up in the 25, and we were flying.
Yeah, I think the wind stayed more in the 20s because we were definitely cruising and pounding into the wind at one point. But the best part was that Jen allowed people who were sitting around to steer the boat. So Steve actually got to play captain for probably a good, I guess she let everybody, whoever wanted to do it, for a good 10, 15 minutes.
Yeah, it was about 10 minutes.
It was fun.
It was fun to sail. It was a nice sailing boat. And it was challenging because it was, we were getting some gusts, and I was flying around. My docksiders had lost their grip, and I was sliding around on the deck. But we got some video of that, so we'll show that. But I think that's it for the show. So definitely we recommend it. It is a great show if you can get a chance to get out to Annapolis. There's so many different boats, every kind of different variety, and we know you'd have a great time if you go. And just the Annapolis area is great. The town's great. It really has a neat feel for a boat show. So that is it for that. And we're going to take another break. And up next, we'll cover the sailing news. Be right back. Okay, it is time for the sailing news. We have not done sailing news for a while, so I have been...
Well, you know this is the only reason people listen to us, is for the sailing noise.
Yeah, just for the sailing news. So I've been gathering up stories. I have not taken time off from gathering stories. I look at the sailing news every day and try to find things that I find interesting that I think would be good for the show about sailing and cruising and all boating in general. So the first story I found is about a fairly famous cruising sailor. Her name is Jean Socrates. And so if you've heard of Jean, she has sailed a lot. It's estimated she sailed probably over 160,000 miles, and she has circumnavigated the world 7 times.
Wow.
And so Jean is 74, and she has set her sights on a new record that she would like to be the oldest person to circumnavigate the world solo, nonstop, and unassisted.
Oldest woman.
Oldest person. I'll get to that. So, Jean has been recognized by the Guinness World Records as the oldest woman to circumnavigate the globe nonstop, solo, and unassisted. And she completed that trip in 2013. She went from Victoria to Victoria in 258 days. And now, on October 17th, I haven't looked up to see where she's at now, but she was leaving on October 17th to be the oldest person to sail around the world solo, nonstop, and unassisted. So, and the previous record is held by a yachtsman, Minoru Saito of Japan, who completed his voyage around the world in June of 2005 at the age 71. So she'll be 3 years older than him, or 4 years, depending on when she turns 75. And she's going to go complete it. So to give you a little history on Jean, in 1997, her and her husband George attended a boat show and bought their first sailboat. And they had both taken some ocean sailing lessons for a few years. And so they were getting ready to have some early retirements and that year, and they said, let's get a boat and go off and do this. So they started sailing in 97, and they had some great sailing adventures together. And then all of a sudden in 2001, George was diagnosed with terminal cancer. And unfortunately, the cancer got worse, and George passed away in 2003 at 65 years old. So Jean, you know, a lot of people, you know, husband's gone, I'm not going to sail anymore. No, that's not the way Jean thought. She said, I'm going to get another boat and continue sailing. And so she purchased a 38-foot Naiad 380 called Nerida. And she started sailing. And she just kept sailing and sailing and sailing. So now she's going to do this trip solo and nonstop. In order to meet the criteria for a genuine solo nonstop unassisted, she has to sail down the coast of the United States and the length of South America, as going through the Panama Canal would actually count as touching land, which is something that's not allowed. So she has to go around Cape Horn.
Wow, by yourself?
Which is one of the most dangerous places to sail. And so she's got to go around, but she's done it before. She's, in fact, she's been, capsized, near Cape Horn before, it was saying the story. So best of luck to Jean.
Now, does it say all of the sailing that she's done, has she continued doing it alone, or does she do it with a crew, or?
Almost all of it is alone.
Wow.
Almost, and almost all of those 160,000 miles has been alone.
Wow.
So she's just she loves sailing. She just loves to get out there by herself and enjoy it. So best of luck to Jean. We know that she will likely be successful from all the experience she has. And I have another senior adventurer in this next story. West Australian yachting legend John Sanders has set off from Fremantle on, I think this was November 10th, on most likely what he is saying is going to be his final circumnavigation of the world. And this is right after he had heart surgery last year. But his surgeon said that, you know, your blood pressure is good and your heart's beating okay, so it's time to take off and go. So John says he's taken off on this trip. He's 77 years old, and he made history in 1988 when he completed the first solo, nonstop, triple circumnavigation of the world, of the globe. 71,000 nautical miles, took him 658 days, and they say it's the longest distance sailed by any person or any vessel. So pretty amazing for a solo, nonstop, triple navigation. That's over almost 2 years solid of just sailing and not seeing anybody.
I couldn't do it.
That takes some grit. But John says he likes these adventures. He says, you know, it gives him something to do. And the constant perpetual motion of the boat actually keeps him in shape. So I thought the last statement was pretty funny. It says, while this will most likely be Mr. Sanders' last round the globe trip, because he's 77 years old, nothing is set in stone. At 77 years old, people seem to think that, you know, that might be his last thing, he says. But someone recently joked with him that he's off on his second to last circumnavigation.
Because he's going to say it when he gets back. Yeah, this will be my last. Yeah, this will be my last.
So best of luck to John. You can, I'll find a link and you can follow how John's doing. But, you know, sailing keeps you young. It's active. He's out there doing something. So both him and Gene are going to stay young by staying out there sailing and keeping it up. So another sailing adventure story. I think almost all my stories this month are all sailing adventures.
You usually do a trend when you pick your story.
Yeah, somehow it all just kind of comes together. A theme.
A rhythm.
Yeah. This one's interesting. This guy, Matt Kent, of the U.S. Brig Niagara, which is a tall ship, he plans to sail the Atlantic Ocean in 2017 in a boat measuring 3 foot 6 inches by 3 foot 6 inches in order to set the world record for the smallest sailboat to cross the Atlantic.
Yikes. Now, when you do some... Go ahead with your story. I'll ask my question after, because maybe you'll answer it.
So, 3 foot 6 by 3 foot 6 inches to cross the Atlantic to be the smallest boat. He's 33 years old. He's from Portland, Oregon. And as I said, he's been... for the last 8 years, he's a crew member on this tall ship called the Niagara. And he's doing this... He, you know, for the adventure, but he's also, he's big on, they do a lot of programs on his boat for kids on science and technology and engineering and math. So he's really doing it to promote that. Kids can follow along. But it's a 4,700-mile voyage that he plans to start on March 1st from La Gomera Island in the Canary Islands off the African coast. And his destination, he hopes to end on the U.S. coastline near Miami. And he estimates the voyage will take 3.5 to 4 months.
Wow.
And he said it really just depends on the weather and, you
which
know,
is what, usually a two-week travel?
He says really going to, you know, it depends when he gets to the Caribbean and the Bahamas. It's going to be the most dangerous because he's going to have to get through those areas and skirt the islands. And he's going to be short on supplies. And so, yeah, a little crazy. But the current world record, so, you know, he's in a... boat, 3 foot 6 by 3 foot 6. The current world record is held by Hugo Villene, who is a former airline pilot from Florida, who sailed from Canada to England in 1993 in a sailboat that measured 5 feet 4 inches in length. It was the smallest previous boat. So He's doing all this. He's trying to raise money. He's got a GoFundMe thing that he's trying to get money. So if you want to support his efforts, and I'll put up a link to the show notes. You can see pictures of his boat. That's the full boat. Just, it's so tiny.
So my question is, first off, that's crazy. It's a little insane for me because it's such a small boat. But when you do something with such a small boat, because it can be pretty dangerous being out there in such a small boat, does he have like crew following him? Is he going to have people in a bigger boat close by, or he's just going?
No, he'll be completely by himself.
That's insane.
So if he gets into trouble, he's going to have a freighter or somebody come rescue him. I did read a story as I was reading this. I was just curious about some of the other stories. So Hugo Villain, who did the previous record, on one of his attempts, he tried to leave from the U.S. coast, and he was turned around by the Coast Guard. And so then he went up to Canada, and Canada just said, we don't care what you do.
So, it's your life.
Yeah, they let him go. So I guess you got to get a, you know, make sure that the authorities are on board, that they don't stop
while nobody's watching.
Yeah, but so we'll watch that. As it comes up closer, we'll remind everybody. March 1st of next year is his planned.
Wow.
Time to leave, but man, when you see the pictures of that thing, you can't, it's no room to sleep, so you've kind of just kind of curl up. I can't imagine for 4 months, it would just drive you nuts not being able to move. I don't know, doesn't make sense to me. And our last story is some celebrity news in our sailing news. Lindsay Lohan has made my sailing news list.
And why is that?
I don't know, you didn't hear the story?
I don't think so.
So, Lindsay Lohan. I think this happened back in the beginning of November, was on social media and in the news because she had to have surgery to reattach part of her finger following a boating accident.
I did hear this.
Turns out that she says this was the result of me trying to anchor the boat by myself and her finger got detached. And this happened in Turkey. And the Turkish media reported it happened in southwestern resort town of Bodrum. And her friends had to recover her finger, and she was rushed to the hospital, and they had to sew it back on. So, you know, just goes to show you got to be careful when you're anchoring that you can lose a finger.
The celebrity that she is, doesn't she have a boat that has the windlass?
Evidently not. She was helping. Maybe she was just helping out. You know, if you're using the windlass, that's one of the most dangerous
maybe
things in the
boat.
Maybe it
got caught or something and she was trying.
Or she tried to stop the chain. I mean, you definitely have to be careful when you have an automatic.
Well, you know what? I give her props for even doing it because a lot of people, well, I can't say a lot of people. Some people wouldn't take that effort of trying. You know, they would think, you do it. You do it.
Right.
So yeah. Good for her for trying, but that's because she hope her finger heals properly and
yeah,
she is good.
Hopefully it wasn't her middle finger because I have a feeling she uses that one a lot.
Careful what you say.
Okay, on that note, that is it for the sailing news this week. We'll be right back with our products of the week. Hey, it is time for our products of the week, and I thought about the products of the week. This is something we just bought recently, and we know a lot of people are putting their or put their boats in storage for the winter, and they want to avoid mold and mildew and smells over the winter. And we had some friends that recommended these products to us years ago and just hadn't really used them, but I noticed this summer as we were on the boat that I have allergies, you know, sensitive allergies that most times are under control, but sometimes if I get in like musty areas or if there's any kind of mold or mildew around, it'll set off my allergies. And I was noticing a little bit on our boat this year. So I decided to get some of this Canberra tea tree oil and another product called Moso bags. They're both, they absorb odors, and the Canberra essentially, as it filters through the boat, it kills any kind of mold or bacteria or odors. It's just really, we've had friends that on cruising boats that use it and swear by it and say it really makes a big difference. So we're going to try it out this year, and you'll look at the reviews online. Everybody will tell you how great it works. And there's a lot of different brands of this tea tree oil. I'm going to put a link to Amazon where I bought mine. And there's different sizes. If you go on their website, we bought this, the 4 ounce package of it. And it'll last months, you know, up to 4 or 5 months for that 4 ounces in our boat. But depending on your size of your boat, you might need to get a little bit bigger container. And the 4 ounce runs $30. But like I said, it lasts months. So it's worth it to make sure you're not getting mold and mildew in your boat. And just keeps it smelling really good. The smell of the stuff is really good.
Oh, I love the smell of it.
Yeah. And then this other product called Moso Bags, it's almost like a little bag that you can hang in the bathroom, kind of absorbs odors and absorbs...
It's like a potato sack.
Yeah. Absorbs, you know, it also prevents mold and mildew. So I bought kind of one from the front of the boat and one for the back of the boat to try them out. But I'll put the links to that in our Amazon store. I think the Moso Bag is only $9.99. Yeah, $9.95 on Amazon. And...
Once we use them for a few months, we'll be able to give our own review on them.
Yeah, but if you look online, they have, I mean, literally, the Moso Bag has 2,300 reviews with an average of 4 stars, and the Canabera's the same way, has over hundreds of reviews, and they're all really high star ratings that everybody really likes it. So check those out. And it's the holiday season, so please keep us in mind. Anything you're buying on Amazon, go to our page, go through our links, go to the show notes and go through our link before you start shopping and before you check out in your cart. And it makes a huge difference in supporting the show.
Yep. You just have to go to our website and it's under
support.
Support TSR.
Yeah. So if you look at any of the support areas there, and we've got it set up for different countries. So even if you're outside the US, you can use it. But it is the main way we're getting support on the podcast right now. We really appreciate everybody that uses those links and buys through us.
Yep. And be sure to follow us on social media. Even though we kind of fell off the face of podcast world, we didn't fall off the earth. We posted things on our social media saying where we were, what we were doing, and keeping in touch that way. But again, we're on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. And we've kind of slowed down again on our YouTube videos, but we will definitely get back once we... get back to normal life. We will get back to doing those videos and get some more out. So just if you're enjoying the podcast, make sure that you are spreading the word about us. Tell your friends, tell your family, and even log it in on their iPhones.
Absolutely. And we would love to hear from you. It's always great to hear from listeners. We haven't seen any, we've been off for a little while, so we haven't got any iTunes reviews lately. I think there was a couple that showed up in November, so I shouldn't say that.
We did get a couple emails while we've been out.
But get into an iTunes review for us. That really pops us up in the rankings so people see the show. And we'd love to hear from you. So just send us an email. Tell us your stories, your sailing stories, what you're doing over the winter, what you're thinking about doing in the spring.
Interview suggestions, we take those. We've gotten a couple in the past couple months from a few listeners. We have taken note. And who knows, you might hear your suggestion on a podcast interview.
Yep. So you can email us at crew, crew@thesailingroad.com. And that is it for this week. I think I'm looking at it, we're probably going to have probably the longest show we've ever put out. So
okay. You guys missed us.
Yeah. Even though we haven't been around for a while, we're giving you a nice long show here. So that is it for this week. Thank you so much for listening.
Next time we talk to you, we'll be Mr. and Mrs. Payment.
Oh, this is true. I won't be able to introduce you as my fiance.
Nope.
So that's coming up. We're excited. It's going to be a great week, and we hope you all have a great week too. And we hope to see you on the water soon.
Later, everybody.